Hello again to you all, and to see so many faces, and many of them faces that I've met you already, for others seeing you for the first time. And as you know, this webinar is focused on recycling primarily and creating more space in your life. And when I was thinking about coming along for this session for the recycling, it occurred to me that perhaps the bottom line reason for you coming on the process, whenever you did the process, was fundamentally because you wanted to be able to do things differently, that having some alternative and different behaviors to the ones that you had become so used to was very much your focus. And therefore, with that in mind, is a realization that recycling is, one of the, if not the most important tool of the process, because it is giving you, having remembering back to whenever you did the process, and certainly what we talk about now a great deal, and there's a poster up for much of the week of the cycle of transformation, and remembering those four stages of awareness and expression, forgiveness and compassion, and then new behavior. And we always, I think, talk about the fact that awareness is, well, certainly it's where we begin, and also then it continues through to being one of one of the fundamental practices that you leave the process with. And then with the level of awareness that you arrive with and the pre-course work that you've done, the information that you've got about, whatever way it came to you is, my goodness, all these patterns of behavior that I have going on in my life. And for many of you, perhaps that was a first awareness of it, or it had been an increasing one. But we then led you into one, two, pretty much 4 days of the different experiences that you had, which led to you being able to heal the past. And so all that we did in those first days of everything around the anger and the letters that you wrote to the negative aspects of your parents, and then having expressed on all of those, to the point where you were able to disconnect from the need for all of those patterns in your life. We then moved on to that stage of forgiveness and compassion through many different experiences, three significant experiences of coming to a point of being able to forgive your parents for all that they did, for all that they didn't do. Because you realized, you experienced the fact more than a realization, you came to an experiential realization that they did what they did out of their patterns. And on that basis, you were able to forgive them and have compassion for them. And that all of that up to that point constituted the different experiences of healing the past, so that you could move on to the new behavior of starting to do things differently. And recycling is one, as I said, if not the key tool in being able to do things differently. And I guess the other important tool or practice, equally as important, is the practice of connecting to your spiritual self. Again, the different experiences that you had over those first few days, the different visualizations where you moved from perhaps a sense of, yeah, okay, there is this unprogrammed part of me, which hasn't taken on the patterns of behavior, and that is who I really am, this unprogrammed part. And so, in a way, the experience of recycling and the connection to your spiritual self are pretty much the key elements of being able to do things differently. And they kind of overlap within recycling, using the tool and the connection to your spiritual self and being aware of particular qualities of your spiritual self come together in that experience. So the recycling part of this, and being the focus that we have right now. First up, if I can just ask you, just by perhaps a show of thumbs in one way or another, is just to ask how many of you feel that you have a really good handle on recycling? A really good handle. How many of you, if you could put your thumbs up, if you feel that you have a really good handle on the recycling? Just so I can have a bit of a sense of where the your experience, your feeling about using recycling is. So thank you for those of you who have. There's a few of you for sure, but I'm very much aware of the fact that probably by far the majority of you haven't put your thumbs up, which I guess is a good indication of why you're here this evening. And certainly we're going to be having some practice, which is the key part of it. But there's just a couple of other kind of recapping on some of the principles of it before we go in and have some experiences. And also then there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions about it. So I was thinking about a quote also earlier on, and I'm pretty sure that it's a quote that appears in the workbook. Certainly every time I teach a process, I seem to pick up on another quote. It seems to me there's an incredible range of quotes in the workbook. But there's a particular one which is relevant with recycling, is one from Viktor Frankl. And I'm just going to read it so that I make sure that I get the wording right. Between a stimulus and a response, there's a space. And in that space, there's power to choose our response. And in our response lies growth and freedom. And it occurred to me that there's another version that I could put on that, of between a stimulus and a response, there's a space. And in that space, we also have a moment to choose whether we react out of our old patterns or respond appropriately. And so, you know, just as an aspect of this in terms of having an awareness of being in a pattern and, you know, certainly coming back to what I said earlier about awareness being a fundamental practice that, in my experience of being on process at the end of the week and just getting a sense from everybody in the room on each occasion of having come to a point of being significantly more aware of whenever you go into a pattern. And so that fundamental point of leaving the process and having an awareness of what you're doing and having an awareness of patterns, that there is that first step you can take, that if you are recognizing that you've been triggered in some situation and a pattern is starting to come up, if you can catch yourself in that moment, then you immediately have some choice. And that choice can then be to respond rather than react. So excuse me while I take a sip of water. So another reminder about the reason why recycling works. And it's to do with, it really comes back to the way that the brain is wired, and something again we would have spoken about during the recycling session on the process is about the neural pathways in our brains. And what happens in, if I can put it in a way of saying, before you come on the process, before you really get a strong awareness of the way things are working in your life, is simply the sense that something happens, a situation happens, and we react out of our patterns. And in that reaction, a neural pathway fires. And it's just a kind of a almost Pavlovian in the sense of something happens and bang, we're triggered into a reaction. And what happens, knowing with the theory of now the neuroplasticity of the brain, and there's a lot of research now, which in a way is catching up with what the process has been doing for nearly 50 years now, of knowing that it's possible, and to use that old expression, you can teach a dog of any age new tricks, that we can change the neural pathways in our brain. We can do things differently. And recycling is a way of being able to access those positive alternatives and to be able to do things differently. And the link that we have is always back to our spiritual selves and being able to, through the recycling experience, we're able to come to a point of coming to situations with qualities, with the energy of our spiritual self. So when we come to this, using this tool of recycling, we're bringing ourselves back to who we really are through that connection with our spiritual selves. And to give another context of the way in which, well, the shift that takes place in our doing the process and in other ways in which we're able to access our spiritual selves, the unprogrammed part of us, is by, you know, really having a recognition. And I guess speaking for myself here, a lot more in the past, I'm glad to say a lot less now, but was the sense that if I continually was doing things, that if I was always helping other people, or if I was always being active in the world and interacting with people, if I was always busy and doing things, then there was the possibility that I'd have what I wanted in my life, that perhaps having more money by working more, or by having more friends around me, by going out and interacting with people and networking with people and making connections with people, then I'd have people around me and I would have the things that I wanted by having enough money to buy them. And as a result of the doing, which led to me having, I then was able to feel that I'm happy now because I've done this and I have that. Now I can be happy. Or it could even be on the level of, okay, I can only really relax once I've done the washing up. So I need to do the washing up. I need to make sure I've done the shopping. And then when I've done all that, then I'm able to feel that the house around me is comfortable, and then I can be relaxed. And so if you look at it from the point of view of how often we approach the world in that order, that I do something, then I can have something, and then I'll be relaxed, I'll be happy, I'll be connected to myself. And the way that that operates for many of us is as a result that we have a sense of who we are or identify ourselves by what we do. Or again, another stage, it might be that, or it might also then be connected with, well, when I have that house, or when I have that particular car, or that particular pair of shoes, or that particular album, or whatever it is, when then I can be happy, I can be relaxed, I can be content in myself. But there's a real turnaround that takes place when we change that order from do, have, be, and turn it around to be, do, have. And that putting be up front comes from being connected to our spiritual self, our essence, that if we have that connection to who we are, then we can do what we need to do from that point without it being compulsive in terms of an identity, or compulsive in the sense of it being, well, I've got to keep doing before I can be whatever it is. But if we start from that point of being ourselves, being connected to our essence, being connected to those qualities that we're familiar with in our spiritual self, then we can act from there in a way that's not compulsive. It's simply doing what we need to do and having what it is we need to have without it being a part of our identity. And so really to reinforce the significance and the importance of being connected to our spiritual selves first up. And I know that there are many exercises like the quad check-in, which assist in that. But what's very relevant at this point and with the way that we behave and having alternatives to the patterns of behavior that we learned in our childhoods, then we're able to be more quickly and more easily connected to our spiritual selves and identify and recognize that that's who we really are. Okay, so what I'd like to do now is to give you the opportunity of an experience of recycling. And to ask that you all choose a pattern of behavior which you recognize is still active in your life. And just to make a note of it, if you have the workbook handy, if you printed it off, you'll find there's a space on page one in the format that's there, just to write down the pattern in the left-hand column. Or if you don't have it printed off and you have a notebook, then do just write down the pattern of behavior that you would like to have a positive alternative to. Ideally, this is a pattern which you have dealt with in terms of expressing on it, expressing on the pattern, on the parent from whom you learned it, and have forgiven them for it. So a pattern which you either dealt with on the process or one that you have dealt with since then. And then when you've written that down or you have a really strong, you know, have an awareness of that, then just to ask you to put your pen down and to make yourself comfortable in your chair. And then just relax back into your chair and close your eyes. And so as you sit there in your chair with your eyes closed, just take a deep breath and relax. And putting your attention on that pattern of behavior that you want to be able to do differently, to have a positive alternative to. Put your attention on it. And as you do so, realize how often it comes up in your life, how tired you are of it, how much you'd like to be able to do things differently. And then Remember a recent situation in which you were acting out that pattern? Going into all the details of it, as you remember that situation, really allow yourself to re-experience it. And as you re-experience it, get a sense of what it's doing to you, the impact that it's having on you, how you come to feel about yourself as a result of acting out this pattern yet again. And if there are other people involved in the situation that you're remembering, notice the impact that it has on them. Really get a sense of the impact that acting out this pattern has on you. Particularly in this situation. And as you remember it, as you really experience it, allow yourself to feel the pattern in your body. And as you feel it in your body, notice what it does to your posture. Really feel yourself embodying this pattern of behavior. And notice what it does. Perhaps your shoulders droop or your head falls forward. Just really feel that pattern in your body and then exaggerate it. Turn it up a little bit. Whatever impact it's having on your body, really turn it up, exaggerate it. And as you keep your attention on your body, get a sense of where the central point of the energy is. Really get a sense of where the strongest sense of the impact of that pattern is on your body. Notice where it's centralized. And then put one hand on your body where you feel that the central point of its energy is. Just put your hand on your body. And then using both your hands, pull it out of your body. Feel yourself pulling it out of your body. Get it all out of you. And when you've got it all out, hold it in both hands in front of you. Just feel the weight of it, that stuff in your hand. Feel the weight. Squeeze it a little bit. Feel the texture of it. Notice what color it is. All the stuff of this pattern in your cupped hands in front of you. And now start kneading it between the palms of your hands like you've got some bread dough or some potty putty or something like that, something of that kind of texture. And put pressure into this stuff of the pattern between the palms of your hands. And you put heat into it and you put pressure into it. And as you do so, getting a sense of what's being transformed there, that the stuff of this pattern, the energy of this pattern is being transformed through the heat and the energy and the pressure that you're putting into it. Transformed with the energy of your spiritual self is being put into this and transforming the pattern. And then very slowly, with your eyes still closed, just drawing the palms of your hands apart, and perhaps you feel a little bit of a tingling between the palms of your hands as you do so. And as you look into that space between the palms of your hands, get a sense that there is a ball of luminous energy, which is the transformation of that pattern from the heat and the pressure that you put into it. And as you look into that ball of energy, perhaps you get a message, you read something or hear something or picture something there in that ball of energy between the palms of your hands. Or perhaps it's just a ball of luminous energy that's come from your spiritual self. And then very slowly, very gently, put that ball of energy back into your body at the point where you pulled the pattern out. and just leave your hands on there for a moment and feel the energy of it spreading through your body, right up to the top of your head and down to the soles of your feet. And feel yourself filled with the energy, this transformed energy, which is the qualities of your spiritual self. And as you feel that energy inside of you, get a sense of a quality of your spiritual self that comes with that energy. And when you're ready, just letting your hands drop to your side as that energy spreads through your body. And feeling yourself filled with the energy of your spiritual self and a quality of your spiritual self. And also noticing the feeling of that energy in your body. What does it feel like? And yeah, really feel yourself now embodying your spiritual self. And in your mind's eye, now go back to the original situation in which you were acting out the pattern. And notice, how are you approaching it this time? With the energy of your spiritual self, with the quality of your spiritual self inside you. And notice how you're behaving this time. Notice what you're doing differently, how you feel within yourself, how you feel in the situation, how you're approaching the situation. And just let the scene play out to the end. And then when you're ready, taking a breath and opening your eyes. And then going to that page in your page one of the little workbook that you have, or writing it down on your notebook if you don't have that page. In the right-hand column, you'll see a sample there, but just to write down the quality of your spiritual self that you experienced, any physical sensations that you experienced, and also how you behave differently. So take a few moments just to record that on page one of the workbook. Okay, just another minute or two. So you can see a few of you still making some notes. Okay, so I'd like to invite any of you who would like to share about the experience that you had, the outcome that you had, then do unmute yourself if you'd like to speak, and then to ask if you could mute yourself again afterwards, after you've spoken. So is there anybody who'd like to share how that
Jeremy,
experience
I'm happy to.
Great, okie doke. Go ahead.
Yes, hello there.
Hi, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it was something actually that happened earlier today. It's lack of patience with my elderly mother, and she's in lockdown. She lives alone, and she relies on me for everything at the moment, and it triggers me from when I was a small boy, and she told me I was the man in the family and had to look after her. And it was about getting angry at her lack of ability, and probably the fear of knowing she's getting old and becoming frail, especially in this really dangerous time that we're living in. And the transformation I had then, I instantly said to myself, no, I am kind, I am patient, I am understanding. And you must realize that this is your mother who desperately needs you, and you may not have much longer with her. So be kind to her and love her like you know you do.
That's great. And so that really made a difference in the way that you behave. When I hear it made a difference in the way that you felt inside. And it had an impact on the way in which you behaved towards her.
Yeah, I mean, it saddened me seeing myself from a third person acting the way I do with her, which comes almost uncontrollably. But it felt like my spirit guide was going to be able to help me become the person that I know I am, and the person that loves her and she loves. Person I'm true to be.
Great, thank you, and thank you for that. And just to note that I'm not mentioning your name, just from the point of view of the confidentiality, and that this is an audio recording. So sure. Acknowledging it. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that.
No problem. Thank you.
Anybody else like to share of their experience? So can I ask? Okay, so who's, yeah, okie-doke. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to share.
Yeah, please do.
So my situation is that when I'm in a situation of fear, I tend to shut down and not want to talk to anyone like my father used to do, and the opposite of my mother, who used to be very bubbly and talking all the time. And the situation that happened is a friend who hadn't called me in several years showed up ringing on my mobile, and I started to cringe, and I didn't want to talk to her, so I just let the call go to voicemail, and then I listened to the voicemail, and I was cringing, and I just decided not to call her back. That was the situation. The mm-hmm. bad, the pattern. And during this exercise, I took that situation out of my body. It was in my lips for some reason. Mm-hmm. And it was all gooey and really disgusting. And by massaging it, it actually changed into diamonds. And so I put the diamonds back inside, and they went through my body. And I saw that I have sparkle, and that I am calm, and I am peace, and that I can give to my friend who called, rather than I was feeling that she needed to give me something. But I am a giver, and I am generosity, and I am solid, settled, dense, centered, and core.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for that. Sounds like a wonderful transformation, a real shift.
It felt great. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. Welcome. Anybody else like to share their experience?
Yeah, I can share.
Okay, great. Thank you.
One of my patterns is desperate for attention, and well, desperate for approval. And the situation's come up today quite a few times where I've done things around the home. Like I finished decorating my bedroom and I made a curry and I did lots of things, and I was taking photos and sending them to my mum in the hope that she would message me and go, wow, you know, isn't that amazing? And aren't you a good little boy? Just desperate for her approval. And that comes from being a child and having just my mum and her being depressed for many years and not really noticing anything. And what I noticed with the recycling was I just felt so free in my alternative way of thinking, because I don't need anyone's approval or attention. I can self-validate and I'm worthy and I'm free. without that.
Great. Great. Thank you. Thanks. Okay. Thanks for sharing that. Okay. Anybody else? No pressure. And okay, so what I'd like to also now give you an opportunity is if you have any questions about the recycling, about any aspect of it, about practicalities, anything that or anything that might have prevented you from using the recycling previously.
Well, hi there. What I find very, I love recycling. I you do it once a week when I manage to catch myself in the moment. Mm-hmm. But when I don't manage to catch myself in the moment, this is where I find it difficult. It's like a split of a nanosecond where you go the other way. And mm-hmm. that's what I find difficult. To catch myself in that space where you could have the choice to go left or right. So that's what's for me very difficult, to kind of a pause. I don't have time to pause. It's like everything is happening so fast.
And so what I understand is that you realize after the event, or it how is. Does it work for you, that you don't necessarily catch yourself in the moment, but
yes,
you do later
yes.
on?
That by the time I catch myself, I'm already in the pattern. In my case, it's screaming or raising the voice to whoever is around me that, do something I don't like. And by the time I realize I raise my voice, I scream, especially kids, it's already too late. So I almost don't have time to react to it. It's coming like a lightning.
And at what point do you realize that you're doing that? When does the awareness come?
Lately, it's coming after a couple of sentences when I raise my voice. Mm-hmm. So this is the moment when then I pause and I have to walk away to kind of bring myself back.
Yep.
And be okay. aware that I have a choice. Mm-hmm. Before, I was not even aware of that. I was just
okay. So some progress there in terms of the awareness coming in. And so just to ask about that as a pattern of who did you learn that from?
I learned that from my father, that he used screaming as a tool to shut everyone down, to mm-hmm. shut my mom down, and to make her do what he wanted her to do, and to make us to do what he wanted to do. So it was a tool. It was a powerful tool that worked very well for him, and I was terrorized with it, and now I'm using it, unfortunately. Less and less, but I'm using it.
Okay. And also then just to check, I'm imagining that you dealt with that on your process and you forgave your dad for it?
I did.
Yep. Okay.
And I faced with it.
Okay. So, I mean, that's that part of healing the past, but also the recognition that, a lot of our patterns, they're habits we've been doing for quite a while, and therefore they will come back. They can still be there. So I'm wondering if there's another step that would be helpful for you before to have more control over it, is to wonder whether you have expressed on that pattern since the process.
I try to express that in going out and jump, or going and dance, or kick the pillow.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm not as fast as the pattern.
Not as what? I'm sorry, I missed a word there.
Sorry, I'm not as fast as the pattern.
Okay. And that's, it is a matter of, it can take some time sometimes. When did you do your process?
2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah. I mean, some patterns have a lot of energy. And, really to reinforce the fact that, it is normal. I think it is normal for all of us in one case or in one pattern or another. And certainly there were two or three patterns that I, well, probably more than that, but certainly a number of patterns when I did the process that I did the expression, I forgave my parents for them. In some cases, I had recycled them and had positive alternatives, but they still had a lot of energy. And therefore, to really normalize the fact that, yeah, it sounds as if maybe you be helpful to set aside a little bit of time specifically to express on the pattern. I'm hearing that you go off and maybe just sort of kick a pillow or do something on the spur of the moment. However, it may be helpful to put some time aside for some specific expression on the pattern and how it's still active in your life. And, also then to remind you that, the expression, the batting can literally be batting or thumping a pillow, or maybe it's a matter of writing it on a piece of paper and putting it on your shoe and dancing on it or running on it or jumping up and down on it, but really having a specific focus on the pattern and how it's still active in your life. And then having done that, to recycle it and to, I think you will find that you will catch yourself more quickly through having taken those steps. It would be my suggestion.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It makes sense.
Great. Okay. Any other questions that any of you might have?
I have a question, Jeremy.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hi there. My question is, the recycling, I love it, and I think every time you recycle a pattern, there's a lovely sense of calmness afterwards. But of course, this doesn't mean that the situation won't arise again in the future. So once you have a specific situation that you have recycled, is the idea when the situation reoccurs that you try and reconnect with the image that you saw or the message that you saw? Is that what you would advise, to hold what we receive, that energy, and go back to that when the situation reoccurs?
Broadly, the short answer is yes. However, there are ways that we can help to reinforce the new behavior, the new neural pathway. And so I guess firstly to say that, when you recycle a pattern for the first time, then it's literally the experience you have, you're taking that first step, this first journey down a new neural pathway. However, it takes a number of times of acting in the new way for the new neural pathway to become your normal form of behavior, your automatic response to replace the automatic reaction that you previously had. And so, there are a number of different theories about how many times we need to behave differently for that new behavior to become your automatic behavior. And yes, we can do it in life by being, by finding ourselves once again in a similar situation, seeing the pattern that comes up, perhaps as that first reaction, and then remembering, okay, I have an alternative, I can behave differently. And that'll start to happen more quickly. But what I'd like to add into this is a reminder about the power of visioning, the power of our imagination. And what you've just experienced, what you've literally just experienced now with the recycling, and for those of you who've done recycling before, you've already done this, is that you've re-experienced yourself in your mind's eye behaving in a different way. And that is, as I said, the beginnings of the new neural pathway. what I'd like to add in here is a recognition of the power that visioning has. And there certainly has been research over the years to demonstrate that. And some of the most, dramatic, perhaps it's slightly overstating it, but certainly something which is very marked, was with a basketball team that was divided up into two groups. And one half practiced and trained and practiced in life normally. And the other half of the team imagined, visualized themselves doing the training and doing the practice. And it was found that there was, when they came to play in a real match together, that there was no difference in the effectiveness of the training and the practice, which is evidence of the incredible power of visualization. The way that we can bring that to the recycling and to the practice of it is, at the end of a day, to go back over the day and to remember, and maybe perhaps I can use here the example perhaps of a pattern of being critical. And I mean, certainly, so at the end of the day is to go back over that day and to remember two or three times when, I'll talk about myself, of two or three times in which I was critical. And then to re-experience those situations in my mind's eye with the re-experiencing them with the positive alternative. And those count, if I can put it that way, those re-experiencing in my mind's eye count towards the number of times that I need to be able to do things differently, to reinforce the new neural pathway. So, you know, that's a part of really just building it up, because once we have recycled a pattern and we have the positive alternative, we would suggest that you don't need to recycle again. Maybe a few years later if it felt like it would be helpful, but fundamentally, once you have the alternative, and firstly, you remember it, and when a situation arrives in life, you say, oh, right, I can do it this way. This is how I felt. This was the quality. And adding to it by going over a day and re-experiencing real life situations with the alternative. Does that make sense? Great. Thank you.
Jeremy.
Yeah.
It's Patrick here, Patrick Ward. That's confused me a bit. So we just do the recycling once or do...
Yeah. In brief, to say, so yeah, I'm not sure where the question's going, but in the first instance, recycle once and then you have the positive alternative.
Okay, and then, I thought we had to recycle it 50 times or something for it to...
Not to recycle it 50 times. I mean, whatever the number of doing things differently, I think it varies between sort of 20, 30 and 50 different theories have about how many times we need to act out a new behavior for it to become our normal way of behaving. But you always, you know, we would suggest just doing the recycling once, having the positive alternative, and reinforcing it either in life and also through imagining yourself re-experiencing situations, as I just described. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay.
Good.
I thought we had to actually do the recycling 40 or 50.
Okay. Great, that'll save a bit of sweat.
Yeah.
Great, okay.
And Jeremy, if you're finding it difficult to stick with that emotion, but whenever you recycle, you feel a lot better and you feel more grounded, is it okay to carry on recycling that pattern?
Just, can you rephrase, can you say the question again, just so I make sure I heard you properly?
If you are having trouble with that pattern and it is creeping up again and again, is it okay to carry on recycling it? There's nothing wrong with that, is there?
No, I wouldn't say that. But one suggestion I would make is that if you find that the pattern is creeping up again or being repetitive, the possibility that it might be helpful to express on it again, as I was talking about earlier, because if it's like persistent, it probably still has some energy that it would be helpful to de-energize.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Yeah, Jeremy?
Yeah.
Hello. It's a long time since I did my process, about 15 years, I think. Could you say a little bit more about expressing on the pattern? I can remember wiffle bats and bits of paper with the pattern written on and bashing it, but in the context of recycling, I can't remember much about any sort of connection between the two parts of the process. I wondered if you could perhaps say a little bit more about that, please.
Okay, so if I understood you correctly, so is it a connection between the batting and the recycling that you're asking?
Yes. So the my memory is, as I said, a few years ago now, my memory is they were sort of two distinct parts of the process, and I'm just finding it difficult to link them up, really, as to how the one, if you like, I mean, the expressing presumably comes first, leads into the recycling process.
Okay. So I guess just to recap on the principles is that, you know, we come to the batting on the patterns first because, you know, that's putting our attention on specifically on the patterns that are having an impact on our lives, that we're still behaving with the patterns of behavior. And therefore, the first step is to express how we feel towards our parents for shortcomings in our childhood and for the fact that they pass the patterns on to us. And, you know, we're also, I guess, a reminder there that the focus that we're asking you to express, to bat on their negative aspects, we're really making a separation between the negative aspects and their positive qualities, which we come to appreciate later in the week. So the focus is, yes, on the negative aspects of the parents of our childhoods. And the intention in doing that is both, to express anger, which, you know, is what we encourage you into from a child's point of view about the impact the patterns have had, and to disconnect from the need to continue to act out the patterns. So it's the beginnings of a first step of recognizing, okay, I learned those patterns and now I can disconnect from them to enable me to be able to do things differently. So that's the expression. I guess when you did the process, I'm not sure if we use that language of the cycle of transformation with the different stages, but the batting comes first. And after that is the forgiveness and compassion, which is to be able to, through the different experiences that you have, is to realize that, of course, if we learn patterns of behavior from our parents, then they learn them too. They learn them from their parents. And through having an understanding of that and a realization that everything they did out of their patterns, leads us to the point of being able, ultimately through the experience of compassion, the funeral, and the experience after that of completing with them at their imagined graves, enables us to forgive them, understand them, understand them, forgive them, and have compassion for them, which enables us to heal the past. And from that point on, we can start to do things differently because we've healed the past. And recycling is the fundamental tool for being able to do things differently. Does that recap for you, Ian?
Yeah, that's really helpful, Jeremy. Thanks very much. Yeah, that makes it much clearer.
Great. Okie doke. Welcome.
Hi, Jeremy.
Yeah.
It's Alan here. Have you got any advice for, I mean, a big pattern of mine is I'm a terrible perfectionist, and I find when I try and do recycling, it has to be a perfect visualization. And if it's not, I then sort of drift in my mind and I just wander. And I haven't really cracked it. And I think that's part of the problem with me. I keep putting so much pressure on myself to do it so well that it's almost putting me off doing it, if that makes sense. So
yeah,
I'm my own worst enemy with it, ironically, with a massive pattern that's stopping me from doing it.
Yeah, okay. And so that pattern of perfectionism, who did you learn it from?
I'd say my mum.
Okay. And also, I guess, a reminder about the language that when we say, you know, who did you learn the pattern from? It can either be doing the same as your parent or doing the opposite or adapting to it in some way. But in your case, was your mum the perfectionist also?
Mum was, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And it sounds like being such a significant pattern, you dealt with it on your process?
Yes. Yeah, no, it wasn't one of my main ones back then, but which was only 2 years ago, but I've since done a lot of work on it as best I can, if that makes sense. Okay. But it wasn't one of the big ones that came up on the process.
So what, when you say you've done work on it, that it seems to have, sounds like it's become more significant since your process, what is it that you've done to do something about it?
I did my one and only bashing session since my process, and it was one of the ones I wrote out and bashed with a bat.
Okay. And how was the experience of doing that? What how did you feel afterwards?
Energized, and a lot of, I think I was guilty of not perhaps, I didn't really follow it up after that to work out, I didn't dig deep to see, you know, where it actually came from and investigate it that way, and forgiveness and all that. I sort of bashed it and I just left it, I think. I was a bit guilty of that.
Okay. So a bit of unfinished business from that point of view then?
I think it probably is, yeah.
Okay. So I guess the first thing to, I mean, there seem to be two aspects to this. One of them is, yeah, the pattern of perfectionist, which you're identifying as being significant, and which, you know, sounds as if it's become more so. But I'm also wondering whether you have a pattern of not finishing things, of never quite completing things, because that's something which seemed to come up as the follow-on.
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. So, and, you know, did you deal with that one on your process?
Again, no, it wasn't one of the big ones I dealt with, no.
Okay. And so, I mean, I think you're, you know, it sounds like you're identifying, or, you know, even in what, the way you're talking about it, is of what you need to do, that there's those two patterns you need to put some more, you know, put attention on, and to bat on them. I don't know whether you're able to you know, in the different ways we've spoken about expressing, of using a wiffle bat or equivalent, if you can do the full batting, or whether you do it by writing it on a piece of paper and going for a run. But I would certainly suggest that for both of those patterns, you need to put attention on. And did you, well, perfectionism, I hear that you did put some attention on the process, but perhaps not completing things?
I didn't, no, I didn't give that one. That wasn't a big one on the process either.
Okay. So, you know, on the one hand, if, you know, and I need to be specific here, I guess, so splitting hairs a bit, I do have a good pattern of being pedantic, of really liking to get the detail right. But in what, you know, what we would say is, if it's a pattern that you dealt with on the process, then the batting that you do now is on the pattern itself and how it's still there in your life. But if it's a pattern that you didn't deal with on the process, then you need to bat on the parent from whom you learned it. And then to go on to the next stage, which is to look at the other side of the coin, and have the experience of, you know, just having a very brief internal visualization of imagining yourself at 12 years old with the parent at 12 years old, sitting on the banks of your river of life, and then just asking them the question and just having a very brief written dialogue. How did you learn this pattern in your childhood? And just seeing what comes through to enable you to understand, forgive, and have compassion for them so that you heal the past on that. And then moving on to the recycling once again. So yeah, suggesting that do put some good attention on those two and then come back to the recycling again.
So Jeremy, if it's something you didn't deal with on the process, and I've got a few of those, you write it all up, you don't recycle, you do the conversation with the parent, and you bat, you do the conversation, and then you recycle?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay, great.
That's welcome. Thank you, Jim. That's been a massive help. Thank you.
Great. Welcome. Welcome. Thank you.
Jeremy?
Yeah.
I've got a question about what I think is competing patterns, I think. So I guess my question was going to be about how do I know it's a pattern and not a feeling? So kind of three things competing for me. That it was a feeling. In a morning, I feel kind of most emotionally miserable and physically miserable. So that's the feeling, is that I can't shake off the morning misery. But the patterns, I think, are, and it's very kind of tangible because it comes from, you know, this one's mum and this one's dad, is I feel this morning misery. And my mother, the pattern I'm learning from my mother is, well, you don't deserve any better and it's all your own fault and you're no good and you'll never sort it out. And the kind of father pattern is, of course you can sort this out. It's all up to you. No one else will ever help you. So, you know, up and at them, get on with it. And actually where I think it leaves me is, I don't want it, which one of those patterns am I going to, how am I getting rid of those patterns so that what I can work on is feeling better, but the feeling better isn't a different behavior. It's a different feeling.
Okay, so there's a number of aspects in there, and I guess that just a couple of questions, if I can ask you a couple of questions just to make sure to clarify it, is I understood you to say of waking up feeling miserable?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and so it's more a kind of a mood that kind of hangs over you?
It is, yeah. I mean, it's attached to physicality as well. It's because I feel ill. So,
yeah
it's the emotional impact of feeling physically unwell, I think. Yeah.
Okay. And so was there an atmosphere of kind of misery in the house when you were a child?
Yeah, constantly.
Okay. And great to isolate that, because on the one hand, I mean, we do talk about, I guess, when we're talking about patterns of behavior at the beginning of the process, when we're really asking you to get focused and to make lists so that you're ready for the batting, that the majority of them are kind of specific patterns of behaviors, of, you know, the examples of the perfectionism or etc. But also moods can also be, have an impact under the definition of what we talk about, the negative love syndrome. And it covers patterns, it covers moods, it covers beliefs and admonitions. And so, you know, as a standalone, that feeling of misery, which I'm hearing is linked in to a physical feeling, which in some ways may feel like it's giving you a good reason to feel that way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you can separate those out so that you're able to kind of treat your body in the way that it needs with whatever's going on with it. But what then gets attached to it is a mood that you're very familiar with from childhood, of the misery around the house all the time, mm-hmm. and how easy it is to kind of link into that. And I'm wondering whether you expressed on that on your process, just that mood, that misery mood?
No, not really on the mood, I don't think. I think I expressed a lot on the related, the kind of reason behind that mood, which was, you know, you're not good enough, and right, where that message came from. So yeah, expressed on that, but probably not on the actual mood. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So do that, and yeah, treating it as a new one from the point of view of addressing it to whichever of your parents. Were they both like that, or just one or the other?
Oh, just one, just mom. Yeah,
just mom. So express on mom and on her mood of misery, mm-hmm, and then look at the other side of the coin and ask that question, you know, how did you learn to be so miserable? Why were you so miserable? What happened? Yeah. And then coming out the other side on that one, of being able to, yeah, having dealt with it, then to recycle that feeling. And I guess that, you know, just coming back to what I hear you say was a bit of a push-pull between your mum's mood and your dad saying, pull yourself together, you know, you're the one who can do something about it, or you ought to do something about it.
Absolutely. And it wasn't the same household as well. So it's kind of one, you know, two different households, but yes, that's it. Yeah.
So there's a bit of a push-pull that goes on within you as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I'm wondering whether you approached, you know, the batting that we did, that you would have done on push-pull conflicts when your parents, or, you know, again, I'm coming back to the simplistic without knowing the different households you're talking about, but mm-hmm, anywhere where you get a push-pull on the one hand and on the other hand, and they're internalized, then they can lead us to a point of not being able to, kind of confusion, of not being able to do anything about it. And so once again, would be helpful to express on both sides of those, the, you know, the misery on the one hand, and then on the other hand is, you've got to sort yourself out. You're the only one who can do it.
Yes.
Definitely. When you were talking about that path, the four steps there with the, and you do the batting again, we did it for ages. When you do it at home, do you do the same thing, like 45 minutes or an hour or something, and tape your hands up again? Or is it just like a quick 10-minute batting enough?
It's a quick bat. And I guess that, you know, really to reinforce, it's a quick bat. And again, looking back on the incredible number of things you did on the process, but we did the cleanup of batting on the third morning, which included the push-pulls and the double messages, the examples that we gave then. And also you did some batting on your shame belief and also on any newly identified patterns. And they were very short, sharp rounds. And the intention of that, and also, if I can take you back to the Sunday night when you did the batting on the cards, that the intention of that also was just to show that the long batting that we encouraged you to do, the rounds of 20 minutes, was, you know, a kind of a catharsis to let go of unexpressed anger, the way that you felt towards your mum and dad. But it was when you got to the cards specifically that you were disconnecting from the patterns. And, you know, we probably would have said, you know, maybe 8 to 10 strokes on each card, or maybe a bit more or a bit less. But really it can be short, sharp. It can be 2-3 minutes. And, you know, really to get a feeling of, in each case, how long is the right time for you. But no, not 40 minutes or anything like that. For the batting.
Mm-hmm.
So was that answer your question around the misery and the patterns that go with that?
It really does, yeah, and it's really helped me think about how much of it I can do something about and what I can't. And thank you very much to you and to everyone else for letting me have that moment to express.
Great, thank you, Doug. Welcome, thank you. And I guess just, I just noticed a comment that came up there and around the dark side. And I just wanted to, you know, to remind you all of how powerful the dark side can be. And I guess, you know, those I've heard speak and others of you as well is a realization of just how often our dark sides can come in. And the dark side stomp, hopefully, is for many of you helpful. Just taking that really short exercise of hearing that inner chatter going on, the messages that your dark side gives you, and, you know, pulling it out, throwing it on the ground, stamping on it, making a noise, and then feeling a beam of light coming down into your shoulder to go right down to where the roots of it were. And you know, the mayor, and as I talk about that, is also just to say, you know, to give you that other option if your dark side comes up when you're in a public place, is that it can be, I suppose, whenever we're at work or in a public place, that often we think, okay, I can have some time to myself or some privacy by just going into the toilet. But to, you know, to make a noise and to stamp your feet may well be not appropriate in that kind of environment. And therefore, a helpful hint would be to pull your dark side out, throw it into the toilet and flush it down. And so to give you that as another option for the dark side stomp. But just also to say that you do have that long form of dealing with the dark side, which, if it was appropriate for any of you to do a much longer approach to the dark side, would be to, you know, to have the experience like you had on the process of pulling it out, you know, seeing it on your shoulder, and then pulling it out, drawing it on a piece of paper, writing down its messages, and then drumming on it with your shoe. So really just to remind you of that one. And I think it was something that just I was reminded of there about how long you bat for, you know, and whether it has to be for the 40 minutes or something like that. But certainly to suggest that if you have a very powerful dark side, that you may well consider drawing it and drumming on it. And drumming on it for 30 or 40 minutes can be very powerful. And then having an experience of ripping up the piece of paper and having some kind of a ritual where you dispose of it and speaking out. You know, my dark side told me, and a few things that it, maybe two or three things that it told you, and then claiming back qualities of your spiritual self and speaking those out. So just as a recognition of how powerful the dark side can be. So any last questions around recycling or associated aspects of what we've been doing and talking about?
I have a question, Jeremy, and it's associated with, often I can recognize the pattern and then recycle it, but there's still, I still feel emotionally flooded. And I can never get rid of that. So I will have reacted in the right way, but I still feel intense emotional pain. So I'm wondering, is that to what was discussed before, that there wasn't enough expression? Or is it that I need to, I would need to then recycle the mood, like you addressed in the other question? I'm never really sure where a pattern to me is very focused on the logical side. I understand what I'm doing and then I do it differently. But to me, my emotional life is very much detached from that still. I can still feel the chemicals flowing through my body despite the fact that I'm doing something in the right manner.
Can you say some more about what you just said? I understood you to say emotional flooding. Is that the right words?
Yes. For example, to take the example that was brought before, I know that I'm getting angry at my mom and I will respond correctly by being patient, but I still feel intense rage inside. And so I'm unable to behave normally. I will say the right things to my mom, but internally, I'm still raging for hours, and that it will take me many hours to get rid of that.
Okay, and so thank you for clarifying that. Certainly I would say, yeah, it sounds like it's necessary and appropriate to do some more expression on that, because the anger, is it specifically directed towards your mum?
No, it could be just situations that trigger me strongly, and then that trigger, the emotional part of that trigger lingers for a very long time.
And the emotional part is anger, fundamentally? I'm hearing the examples you're giving as being anger, or are there other emotions?
It could also be confusion that I'm not understanding, or I'm frustrated. Could be frustration, could be anything, sadness maybe even.
And so it sounds like all of them, that there's an element, and I'm knowing a little bit more, needing to know a little bit more, how were emotions able to be expressed when you were a child? Were you able to express emotions?
No.
And so do you get a sense when these patterns come up, the experiences that you have, is there a sense that you haven't been able to express how you really feel about things? That you haven't been able to allow the emotion out?
Correct.
Yeah. And therefore, what I would suggest is that perhaps, given that what I'm hearing, that your parents didn't encourage you or allow you to express emotions?
Correct. Or there was a negative consequence of expressing them.
Yeah. And so that is what I suggest you put attention on, is the fact that it wasn't okay for you to express emotions when you were a child, and that therefore it still feels like you're holding them inside, and that the emotional quality, or being able to fully acknowledge how you feel emotionally in any situation, is still something which you're holding inside.
And then that's the what you do the bashing on, or is
do the batting on that, and to really allow yourself to get that out, and it sounds like you may need to put attention on your mum and dad and the impact that had in your childhood, that it's still affecting you in your life today.
Thank you very much for the explanation.
Great, welcome. So I'd like to we're coming to the end of the time, and I also just, having firstly allowed you to have the experience of another recycling, and for many of you, you may find that there are patterns here that I still need to recycle, and therefore, it's really knowing that your intention of going on the process was to be able to do things differently, to be able to act differently, really to recognize that it's an act of self-care and self-compassion to find positive ways, alternative ways of acting out your patterns. And, it really is, ongoing for a little while. As I said earlier, we spent nearly 4 days on the first, or the sort of parts 2 and 3 of the process of expression on the one hand, and then forgiveness and compassion on the other. And we give you the experience of recycling and encourage you to do a few more between the time of learning it before you leave the process. But it is a part of your responsibility to yourself and self-care to use the recycling tool to be able to find ways of acting out differently. And yes, it all does come from a connection to your spiritual self. And the more you're able to be in touch with your spiritual self, then there is the possibility, absolutely, of acting from that, you know, from who you really are, from the best part of you. But the behaviors, which are, you know, from our emotions and our intellect, they constitute our personality, the way in which we approach the world, backed by our spiritual self. But those behaviors do need to be transformed. And so really to encourage you to practice it regularly and to, you know, in the way, in the first instance, to do regular recyclings on the patterns that you haven't recycled yet. And then, you know, that'll help to reinforce your ability to do things differently, backed up by your spiritual self. So you have the recycling. There's a reminder of a link to it on the back page of that the workbook there, that it's in the graduate section of the website, that you'll find that you can be led through the recycling. It's also on the memory stick that you were given at the end of the process. And what might be helpful certainly is to, you know, maybe to record it yourself so that you can hear yourself being led through. And the method which, the recycling method which I led you through is on page 2 of the workbook that you have, the little workbook. It's also in your student workbook, your participant workbook from the process. And you'll also find in these pages which you got this evening that there are a couple of other ways of doing recycling if you find that you'd like an alternative. So do have a look at that. And just a couple of last things that I'd like to add in. One of them, it really, for me, really helped to remind me that using the tools and the practices, and particularly in this instance of using the recycling, what I found helpful was a theory around competences, which is not specific to the process. In fact, I think it was originally a business model. But there are 4 levels to the competences. And the first level is unconscious incompetence, which is, you know, we're not able to do something, but we kind of think, well, that's the way it is, and not really kind of consider the fact, okay, well, I can't do that, and well, that's how life is. And then the next stage is conscious incompetence. And I'd liken that to being the point that, you know, each of us is at when we decide to do the process, or when we decide to do something which will enable us to have more awareness and to do something about it. And so, yeah, in this particular example is, yeah, we all got to a point of realizing that we weren't living our lives in the best way possible, that we could do things differently, but not really knowing how. And so that was the point of conscious incompetence. When we come out of the process, after all the different experiences that we've had, we're at a point of conscious competence, which means that we really have to be putting our attention on doing things differently. And that comes about through doing the quad check-in regularly, and so that we have an idea, get a sense of the relationship between our intellect and our emotional self, and how old our emotional self is and what the relationship is like there. And it also gives us a regular contact and connection with our spiritual self. Recycling is very much a part of this point of conscious competence, because, you know, it is very deliberately and specifically giving us positive alternatives to the patterns of behavior that we had before. And therefore, we really do need to put our attention on them consciously, so that we are creating those new neural pathways in a very deliberate, unconscious way. And then over time, those new behaviors, once they've become our regular responses in place of the reactions, then we come to a point of unconscious competence when we are simply living out these new behaviors, these alternatives to our patterns. And we are living in a way that is more and more connected to our spiritual selves. And so, really, I think this brings us to the end of this webinar, and to thank you all for being a part of it, for taking part, and for contributing either out loud or through the messages and the interactions that have been going on. And to wish you all very well with your recycling and your consequent new behaviors.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
I'm just going to pause the recording.